Let me invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 50th verse. This is the first section of Scripture we will go to, then we'll go over to Acts chapter 1. But let's begin now with Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 50. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 50. Hear now the Word of God. Then he, that is Jesus, led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 1. This is where a majority of this morning will come from. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. Again, let us give careful attention to the reading and hearing of God's Word. So, verse 6, when they had come together, that is, the disciples, they asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When he had said all these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Keep your Bibles open before you. Let us look to God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this incredible event, the life of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, may this event take on an added meaning during this time that we are going through. We ask that your Word and your Spirit will work together now to help us understand and to convict our hearts of what we have before us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It may be the most important event in the life of Jesus that we never think about. It's an event that is given in the New Testament. It is prophesied. You have sneak peeks of that event in the Old Testament. We confessed this event this morning. John led us in the Apostles' Creed. But still, most of us fail to fully appreciate this event. Maybe it's because this event happens so close to the cross and to the empty tomb that in salvation's soundtrack, the music of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ sort of drowns out the music of this event. Maybe we're, a little embarrassed because this story takes such a remarkable turn and actually begins to sound like Superman flying up into the clouds. Or perhaps in the past, if you were to compare the life of Jesus to a long compound sentence, this would be, let's say, a divine exclamation point at the end of the life of Jesus. This event we're speaking of course, is the ascension of our Lord Jesus. And beloved, for people like us living in a time like this, a time unlike any time we've ever experienced in history, the ascension of Jesus answers a particular question that makes all the difference in how we face this challenging time we're living in right here, right now, today. And the question the ascension of Jesus answers is this, three-word question. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And the answer to the question, where is Jesus, encourage us to live in a time of great difficulty. Patterns of work and school and team sports and socializing and finances, most everything else, our patterns have been totally disrupted by this sneaky, strong, tenacious COVID-19 virus. But the good news is this. In the midst of all this difficulty, in the midst of all this disruption, in the midst of all this disaster, there's a greater reality. And the greater reality is that we worship a risen and ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And knowing where Jesus is right now is knowledge custom designed to encourage and empower us as we are feeling, I'm sure many of you, I know, feeling like the little shepherd boy David standing before a Goliath pandemic called the coronavirus. You know, it's been said when it comes to real estate, whether it be residential or business, that the three main factors to consider in real estate are these: location, location, and location. And when it comes to Jesus, his location, that is, where Jesus is right now, impacts us today in a positive way. The ascension of Jesus provides for us three practical, life-changing answers to the question, where is Jesus? And the first answer to the question, where is Jesus, is this: Jesus is at the right hand of God. Jesus is at the right hand of God. Now keep your place in Acts chapter 1, but turn over to Acts chapter 7, because we see this in a very graphic way in a few minutes. You know, to hear some well-meaning Christians, when they discuss what's going on with this crisis, you would think Jesus is in heaven's balcony, pacing back and forth, wringing his hands, looking over the clouds at the drama happening on the world stage, fretting with breathless anticipation, and saying, gee, I wish I knew what was going to happen next. You know, if you've ever even entertained the thought of a pacing, anxious Jesus, consumed with worry about this pandemic on this planet, think again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, the apostle affirms Jesus is, not was, but is, the one who is at the right hand of God. Having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. See, this Jesus who was raised from the dead now occupies a place where he exercises complete control over everything that happens on every square inch of this planet. The right hand of God is that place of total and complete authority. Now here's the question: how do we know that Jesus is in control? The answer is simple. Here it is. The way you know is this: you're here. Let me explain. If Christ was not in complete 100% control of everything, nothing would exist. That's the message of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, where he says, by the word of his power, Jesus literally holds everything together. There is not one square inch of what you see and what you don't see that lies outside the jurisdiction of Jesus. The old gospel hymn says, he's got the whole world in his hands. And you know what? This Jesus who holds together every subatomic particle in this universe holds your life together by the word of his power and the power of his word. So the question for you this morning is this: am I living under the authority of God's word? Is God's word my North Star guiding me through this time? Is this your roadmap for navigating the dangerous road that is before us? You know, the evangelist and preacher Billy Sunday once put it very colorfully. He says, the man who has a Bible that's falling apart, that is from reading and studying and praying through the Bible, the man with a Bible falling apart is a man whose life is not falling apart. You know, God gives us his word, his authority, to teach us some important lessons about this painful trial we're going through right now. And one of the main lessons that the ascension of Jesus teaches us is this. As we look at everything that's going away, everything we don't have, we learn that there is nothing in this world that gives us the security and the satisfaction we find in the infinite greatness and worth of the ascended Jesus. Nothing in this world gives us the security, the satisfaction we find in the infinite greatness and worth of the ascended Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. This pandemic takes away our freedom of movement, our business activities, much of our face-to-face physical relationships. This pandemic is a pickpocket, taking away our security, our comfort, and for some, tragically, this pandemic will take away their lives. But this pandemic cannot take away the supreme, all-satisfying greatness and worth of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when the enemies of Christ were about to stone Stephen, now let's look at verse 54 of chapter 7 of Acts. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged. They ground their teeth at him. But he, that is Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, notice this now, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. And notice what else he saw. Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God. You see, if in the midst of this pandemic, you would only lift up your eyes and look into the heavens, you would see Jesus, he's sitting at the right hand of God. And when you lift your vision above and beyond all this mess, Jesus will shine into your heart with an infinite brightness, even in the darkness of these days. So where is Jesus? Jesus is at the right hand of God in a position of supreme authority, unsurpassed value. That's the first answer to the question, where is Jesus? Now, if you'll turn back to Acts chapter 1, the second question is this. Where is Jesus? The answer, Jesus is in the ministry of the gospel. He's at the right hand of God, and Jesus is in the ministry of the gospel. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And notice, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Friends, right now, during this physical evil which we find ourselves entrapped by, God has opened a door of opportunity for sharing the gospel in an engaging, arresting, even stunning way. Because what we have playing out before us is a parable, a drama, a signpost pointing to the fact that there is something dreadfully wrong with the world right now. You can go on a good day, you can go for a walk, a run, ride your bicycle. Have you noticed it's springtime? Everything you see around you is beautiful. This is the most beautiful time of the year. But then you go home, you turn on your television, you log onto your computer, you pick up your cell phone, and you see this ugly reality of a virus and all the sickness and death this virus brings, and you realize beneath all this surface beauty we see, there's something really ugly happening. Like a mugger in a dark alley, disease lurks around every corner. For some, death isn't far behind. You know what COVID-19 is? If you think about it, it's a physical picture of a spiritual reality of how sin infects and affects the whole planet. See, behind and beneath and prior to everything on this planet that's ugly and full of death and evil is the far uglier, deeper reality of sin. You pick up your Bible and through the window of Scripture, you see because of sin, we live in a world full of disease, full of depravity, and sadly, full of people like the governor in one particular state who, even in the midst of this pandemic, instead of calling out to God for mercy, he blasphemes God on national TV. Friends, the ultimate problem, The problem behind the problem of this pandemic is sin. Because when sin entered the world, everything evil, everything bad, everything wicked invaded this world. And to make things worse, sin is more infectious, more deadly than any virus, because sin results in, as the commentator Matthew Henry said, the destruction of the well-being of both body and soul for eternity in a place that is so bad that in comparison, a Stephen King movie would look like a romantic comedy. And to this fallen, infected world, we bring the ministry of the gospel, because the ministry of the gospel brings us the only hope we have. You see, when we minister the gospel, we provide the ultimate solution to the ultimate problem. The ultimate problem is sin. The solution is the Savior. So we minister the gospel, and there's something really amazing happening when you choose to minister the gospel during this time. You know, in Ephesians 2:7, Paul goes so far as to say that the Christians in Ephesus, that Christ came and preached to you. Think about that. Christ was already ascended into heaven. But Paul says, Christ came and preached to you. What does that mean? Well, what it means is, whenever the gospel is preached, Christ actually comes spiritually as the Word and Spirit work together to convict people of sin and send people into the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Through the Word and the Spirit, there's conviction, there's conversion. Friends, we are not physically together right now, but you know what? We're still a church. We're a scattered but electronically gathered church. You're still a part of the body of Christ. You still are. And you need to look for opportunities in your conversations with others, online, on Facebook, Instagram, on the phone, at a safe social distance. You need to point other people to the risen, ascended Lord Jesus Christ, because the problem is sin. Sin is why we live in a fallen world full of disease. The solution is repentance and faith in Christ alone. And the gospel is a lifeline that we throw to people. Because you know what? Now more than ever, people are looking for answers. And ultimately, Jesus is the answer. There's a third answer to the question, where is Jesus? We've seen Jesus is at the right hand of God. Jesus is in the ministry of the gospel. But notice in the third place, the third answer to the question, where is Jesus, is this. Jesus is waiting for us at the end of the age. Or you could say, Jesus is waiting for us at the end of history. Have you noticed with this pandemic and all these floods and tornadoes and earthquakes and big pink moon that came out last week, the question that Christians are asking, are we living in the last days? Well, good question. Are we living in the last days? Let me give you a short answer and a longer answer. Short answer is yes. The longer answer is this. It depends on what you mean by the term the last days. You see, in the Bible, the term the last days refers to that time between the first and second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. Yes, Jesus has come live and in person to this earth. That's recorded right here. And Jesus will return live and in person to this earth. Notice in verse 11, it says, Men of Galilee, why are you looking up into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. We await the physical return of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are in the last days between the first and second coming of Christ. But we do not know when Jesus will return to earth. Look at verse 8, or verse 7. It says, He said to them, It's not for you to know. The times or seasons the Father is fixed by His own authority. You know, in God's top secret file, on His divine planning calendar. God the Father has circled a day in red when Jesus will touch down on this planet. You know what He's going to do? He's going to judge and destroy all sin, all the effects of sin, including disease and death. He's going to set this world to rights. He's going to gather His people into Himself, and He's going to bring heaven to earth. In the meantime, we remember the tagline of the Great Commission. It says, and surely, this is Matthew 28:20, surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, there's a powerful, precious 10-carat diamond promise in those words. You know, Jesus is personally promising to be the happy ending of history, and He's promising to be the happy ending to the history of your own personal life. Remember it well, after getting off of work at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, in October of 1981, I went to my parents' house to watch a television broadcast of a USM football game. The game was tense, back and forth. The lead in this game changed more often than a cast of a Broadway musical changes costumes. The game was decided with 30 seconds to go. All through the game, I noticed my parents were just sitting there, smiling, calm, cool, collected, and I turned, how can you be so calm? This was driving me crazy. Anyone that's ever watched me watch a football game know I go pretty nuts during a football game. And they were just so calm. Well, I found out why. After the game, Dad stood up, walked over the television, pushed the stop button on the VCR machine. See, the game had been played at 11 o'clock that morning. I was watching the videotape replay of the game. My parents knew Southern Miss had already won. It was a done deal. No wonder my mom and dad were so happy and calm during the game. Friends, I want you to know, in the production studio of God's providence, the videotape, the DVD, the streaming video of the history of this world, the video of your own personal history is a done deal. We are living right now the playing out of that video. We don't know all the details of what's in that video, but God knows, and what we do know is how the game turns out. Beloved, knowing that the game has a happy ending makes all the difference, doesn't it? And since we know how this game ends, what do we do? Well, in a word, we care. You see, during this time, you're going to be tempted to do this, but during this time, apathy is not an option. In a world full of violence, we need to function as agents of peace. In a world of brokenness, we function as agents of reconciliation. In a world that's pretty much abandoned absolutes, we speak out, we live out the absolutes of God's Word. And in this world that is shrouded and smothered in disease and dark hopelessness, we shine into this world the hope-infused light of the gospel. Friends, we can do what we've been called by God to do because we know the ascended Jesus is going to return to this planet to make all things new. The reason we're confident is because the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus assures us that God is one day going to redeem our bodies and our souls. One day we will live happily ever after, in glorified bodies, in a place that Revelation 21 refers to as the new heavens and the new earth. We will be there. Nothing will be wrong. Beloved, we serve a risen, ascended Savior. He stands with us every day of our lives right now. He waits for us at the end of history to heal and restore everything that's broken Indeed, our world is broken. That's Jesus' promise. See, Jesus himself has promised, I will be your happy ending. You know, Christianity is not a fairy tale, but the story of Christianity has the ultimate true fairy tale ending, because it can only be said of people who are in Christ and they lived happily ever after. So the question is this morning, where are you? Are you in Christ? Where is Jesus? At the right hand of God, in the ministry of the gospel, waiting for us at the end of the age. That's where Jesus is. But the question today is this: where are you? Where am I? May God give us, I'm not talking about your location, I'm talking about may God give us grace to know where we stand in our relationship to the risen, ascended, exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, in the midst of this pandemic, we praise you for Jesus. We know from Scripture he is at your right hand. He is in control. He is teaching us his surpassing greatness and value. May we not take stock, so much stock, in what we don't have, but what we have in Christ. Lord, we praise you because Jesus is in the ministry of the gospel. This world is fallen. We see the effects of this fallenness. But we also know the solution for sin is the gospel. And Lord, Jesus is waiting for us at the end of the age. Lord, we don't know when your Son is returning, but we do know this. Your Son is returning, and when he does, he will make all things new, including us. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for that truth, and we pray, God, that we'd be encouraged by the fact that we serve a risen, exalted, ascended Savior. Lord, accept our prayer, accept our praise, accept our life and service to you. In Jesus' name, amen.